Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we engage in lively and thoughtful conversations with professionals in the nonprofit world. I'm Michelle Molloy-Dillon, and I'm here with my colleague, Margaret Katz-Kann, and we're super lucky to have Barton Cutter with us. Barton is a certified co-active coach, an inclusion expert, a healer and meditation teacher, and an international speaker. And Barton has written a powerful blog this week for our fundraising leadership community where he talks about what defines our innate humanity. He has grown up with severe cerebral palsy, and he has an important perspective to share and explores the hot topic of identity in today's world. Welcome, Barton, and glad to be here with you too, Margaret.
Thanks, Michelle.
It's an honor to have you.
Yeah.
Now, normally we end our fundraising leadership podcast with a challenge for the audience, and we would love to begin as a way to change it up for our audience.
Switching it up today with
a challenge. Yeah. This is for real. Like, slow yourself down. We want you to stop what you're doing and really listen to this conversation. So if you're in the car, pull over somewhere and allow yourself the opportunity to listen. If you're busy doing things as you're listening to this podcast, just pause and notice your heart. Listen from your heart. Notice your body. And notice the tension when you try to hear every word. Let go of that. Listen with your whole self. And notice when you let go of listening to every word, what happens in this conversation. Allow yourself to really be in this experience. This can be a gift.
I love that, Michelle. And we certainly talk about so much about level three listening, right? Listening to what's beyond words.
And in my experience, especially because my speech pattern or essence, I found that this level of listening has been so powerful for others in not attaching to having to have it right or perfect.
Yeah, oh my gosh, there's such freedom in not having it right and perfect and allowing our intuition to come through in our level three listening. There's such power there.
Yes, that's where so much of communication lives, right?
You know, there's something about the difference in the reading words on a page and knowing that we're all reading the same language or the same words.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between that and hearing, especially when the words are unfamiliar or there may be a foreign accent or, you know, something happening where the words sound different than we expect.
There is at one level that and you said what comes up in me is both written and spoken language happens kind of at the surface level. of humanity and the the visual sensation, the speech of emotion are so much more embedded in what makes us who we are beyond difference of accent or language or background.
There's a tension that's created when we hold on and we won't let go.
Yeah. I'm just thinking a little bit about a scene in a book that I'm reading where two American characters go to Vietnam, and it's the main character and her father, and you know, he's trying to communicate and he just keeps getting louder, right? Like he's not being understood and he just keeps raising his voice louder and louder. And I just wonder, like, what is it that we forget, you know, when we get stuck like that?
Ooh, that's a powerful question, Robert.
I use you mean besides ourselves.
There is something greater that I think we forget. I mean, even as I think about the answer to that, it's like my feet feel suddenly really connected and grounded to the floor. Mm-hmm. And something just sort of drops in for me.
There's that dropping in, but there's all sorts of this dropping out into space, which perhaps is the same thing, perhaps not. We could play with that idea.
Yeah, that connecting out, it's like a connecting to the whole.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That those barriers don't actually exist, that it's just perception.
It's like the focus on, when we're focusing on what's different, right? As opposed to what's the same. And but how is it? I mean, I know you write about this topic of humanity. And it's just, it's curious to me, what, you know, that same question, like what don't we see when we have trouble understanding something right away? What do you think happens, like, to our minds and our bodies, where we just, you know, we panic a little bit, don't we?
Yeah, we panic in the one of you just said a minute ago that when we open the boundaries, and in that panic, the boundaries are most reifying themselves, and they can become so much less permeable.
Yeah, less permeable.
Yeah, what comes up for me is, what tips do you, as you work with your clients, Barton, like, what comes up as ways to work beyond these boundaries with each other?
Oh, it depends. It depends on the space. Um, So, so it begins with finding your own silence and stillness, and at the same time, this will sound funny, but having some disruption that makes the silence more vibrant, more pronounced somehow.
Wow, silence more vibrant and pronounced. Oh my gosh, there's something so beautiful about that. Like if we would just allow and give permission to silence to be vibrant.
The funny thing is from there, you can express as almost any form needed. And each for me, we are there. What usually emerges first is laughter.
What can you repeat that? What can you create? What?
No, when I'm really in that space, and when others are in that space, what I've found is that so often the first expression of that is left. It just erupts from them.
Well, and it feels like, you know, there's this open-heartedness that emerges in allowing for silence and allowing for letting go, for information to come in through different channels and discover it. That's that vibrancy that you mentioned too. It's like we get to experience a magic.
Right. Like, what does silence have to teach us?
Everything.
Everything.
It does. Yeah. And that's my personal opinion of it. Yeah.
Well, when we listen from the heart, anything is possible.
Yes.
I'm curious. I gotta be honest, I'm not sure where we want to go. So what's right here for you?
I didn't catch that.
I think I'm not sure. You're not sure where we want to go.
Oh, where we want to go. Oh, yeah.
Well, we're coaches. We're good at questions, right? I know a lot of people, Barton, will have read your blog because it, you know, it's up before the podcast. There's so many things and meanderings and beautiful ideas in there. But if there was, you know, one headline that you wanted us to take away or that you want us to talk about more, what would that be?
I feel like the Designed Alliance as a tool for GI.
So as a Designed Alliance, you want to define that for our audience. So Designing Alliance is something that Barton and Margaret and I have studied and learned a lot about through the Coactive Training Institute. Yes. And designing an alliance is sitting down with someone or a group and really talking about how you want to be with each other. It's it's less about getting things done or what your goals are and more about how you want to be.
Yes.
Yeah, and we use it a lot to create safety, right? What are the agreements that people have to make and commit to in order to create a safe space where things can get said, even hard things sometimes, and what can get done.
Yeah. So when we translate that specifically to a GEI, then in some ways, we can get even more intimate than how it shows up in coaching framework. Especially as coaches who operate in nonprofits and other entities. But when we bring in GEI, we are actively inviting in aspects of our humanity that have been marginalized and asking what those pieces need to feel that safety that you just mentioned.
Yeah, so important. It's like, excuse me, it is like as we work with clients as coaches, and you're so right with the DEI lens, it allows each person to be in things 100%, 100%, equally leaning in, equally being part of, as you say, equally including, and allowing all to be part of the conversation. There's nothing wrong or right, but permission to talk openly and to explore ideas together.
I hear permission, but I also hear like responsibility, right? For all of us.
Yeah. Permission, responsibility, and I will also add to that that it's not uncommon that it makes our personal edges more expressive.
Oh, yeah. Our personal edges more expressive. I love that. Yeah.
So, in those moments, we get the opportunity to use that edge or talent as a way to unmask the aspect that or the bias or the perceived different stuff, whether it's life experience or some other systemic issue to emerge in. Be witnessed and find a collective mechanism to be with it and speak to it. And hopefully, ultimately, help dismantle it.
You make it sound so simple, Barton.
Yeah, I do.
Take those masks off and go. That's the sound of me ripping the mask off.
Yes, everything you just said.
I record that. I record that symbol. I make up that there are people out there that want to call BS on that. And I know that. Please do that. I know what I just said. Did I say this stuff was easy or comfortable? I kind of insist that it is fun, even when it feels awful. But maybe I'm a bit of a masochist.
That's part of the part of the unmasking, right? It's like staying masked feels, it's a
safer
burden.
Safer and hard, right? Isolating and safer, both. Yeah. But I really hear just this invitation for, I don't know, like a lot of courage to come into a space and for everybody to collectively, how do we make sure that everyone gets heard?
And it does take courage.
Different, yeah. Right? I mean, that I guess by definition, DEI is, you know, that every single person has potentially their own lens, requirements, perspectives that all that all need to be heard.
And it's just a different type of current than what we are used to. It requires all of us to be quiet and be humble.
So it's the courage to sit in that profound silence.
Yeah, and there is a humbleness that's needed. When I hear the word humble, it's sort of it's about letting go again. And allowing something in that can be a gift.
Because there's a silence that removes us. And so it feels important to be really specific. That's not the silence that I don't think that's what we're talking about. We're talking about this very, engaged, leaning in kind of silence as opposed to, right? Because sometimes people use silence to keep that mask on.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah. And it's a palpable difference. Right? The difference is palpable.
Yeah.
When you sit in a room and everyone's in, but there are a couple of people that want to run or I'll cut it off. That difference is palpable, and that's where the magic opportunity is. If you can name that and ask there was a bad report there. Would you say more about how you perceive that difference? Because I know how I perceive it, but everyone perceives it differently.
Yeah, they do perceive it differently. It's interesting to have this conversation because there is this unmasking, and as I see it, when we're having conflict, we're talking about the DEI lens, so we'll use that. We aren't truly listening to each other. We're stuck in our perspective, and our feet are planted firmly in that way, and we're not willing to let go enough to listen and to truly hear. And there is a different quality to that way of being with each other. It feels very visceral to me. I mean, I feel things in my body, so I feel it in my body. It's different.
As you were just speaking, the image that popped up for me is bamboo.
Oh, bamboo,
versus some really hard wood that doesn't bend much.
And there's something else about bamboo where it's all drinking from the same water, right? It's all connected by this fluid, property underneath.
And the ability to wave together in the wind. It's like that adaptability and that flexibility.
Yeah.
That's a great metaphor.
I love the part that Margaret just put in, because it begs the question. What else is needed besides the sun for that network of grounded interconnectedness? That's happening below the sun.
That is a brilliant question to end this podcast with for our listeners. What else is needed?
Yeah.
For that groundedness and that interconnectedness. What else is needed to get there? And we'd also like to share a free resource, and we'll put a link in the show notes to a free tip sheet that we have at Fundraising Leadership called Three Powerful Ways Leaders Listen. And in that tip sheet, we talk more about level three listening as well.
Yeah.
So thank you, Barton, for being our guest today.
Barton's challenging us to get to level four here today.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely.
I'm staying connected and listening. I love that. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Barton.
This podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe. If you haven't already, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring you thoughtful content with a monthly or annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Please make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now, go put it into practice. Yeah.